Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get started tonight, and we'll just see what the Lord has to say. We'll be in Luke, chapter 22, and there are some things that we'll look at in there, and then we'll also cover just cover some things that I just want to share with you as far as information. All right, let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on tonight, and we just bless you for another opportunity to present ourselves to you to get understanding. We seek it, and we know that you will give us what is necessary for us to continue to prosper in your word. We just bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. There are a few things. I'm going to kind of be all over the place a little bit, I guess, from the perspective of not covering a specific, I guess, topic, but just deal with some things on tonight, and then we'll jump into the scriptures. Thank you. We'll jump into the scriptures. Now, I want to just share with you some experiences that I've had these past few days, and then also to give you the heads up so that you can operate in wisdom when these things happen. Last Thursday, we're in the renovation stages of our project, and last Thursday, around 3 o'clock in the morning, there were some thieves who was picked up on a neighbor's security camera going in our driveway, heading to our parking lot, and eventually broke in. And stole a bunch of equipment and supplies and stuff like that. It's about $10,000 of stuff. Well, first thing the person want to say or would say is, man, the devil is, is busy. But I don't give him credit for nothing. And the reason why I don't is because I know that whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit. There's some things that may happen to you that may not be convenient when it's happening, but when you have opportunity to look back on it, you say, wow, man, y'all was really doing something awesome. And this is one of those cases. Sometimes y'all has to allow events to take place in order to bring us to further into purpose. And so these events, most of the time, will put us in some, I won't say most of the time, a lot of times, I'm really comfortable saying most of the time, at least with me, will put us in some uncomfortable circumstances, but at the same time, it is designed to, again, bring about divine purpose. Yah is up to something, and sometimes he has to let things take place in order for that to happen. Now, what I want to teach you to do is to look for Yah in everything. I don't give the devil credit for nothing. Now, he may be the avenue that's coming against me, but I don't give him the credit. I don't focus on him when things are happening. I don't focus on him when good things are happening. I don't focus on him when bad things are happening. When bad things are happening, I'm always looking for Yah. I look for Yah in everything, the good and the bad. My eyes are always on Yah. And I want to, just encourage you to do the same. Regardless of what happens in life, always look for Yah when you do that. Some wonderful things will take place. This scripture just came to mind. I can't remember exactly where it is, so I'll use technology. Let me see if that go. Yeah. Let me ignore it and see. Children of Yah, we have to find Yah in everything. Look for him in everything. When the circumstance is bad, you know, so you get people a lot of time, they will say, well, man, why would Yah allow these bad things to happen? I mean, we had, you know, we're moving forward. We're, you know, the project is scheduled to be open in June. And, you know, this is the first floor. We'll be finished and open in June. Why would Yah allow these things to happen to us now and allow them to go in there and get some supplies and get, you know, equipment and yank out wiring and all that, you know, and, you know, sit us back a minute? Why would he allow these things to take place?
It's wrong
today. Okay. This is what you have to understand, or what we have to understand. Romans 8, verse 28. You know, we always keep things within this contextual meaning. And so I'll just start at verse 26. It says, Romans 8, verse 26 to the left of the screen. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, when you look at the word infirmities in verse 26, the Spirit here is the breath of Yah, okay, helpeth our infirmities, feebleness, okay, frailty, weakness, okay. Now, when you look at sickness, it's not necessary from a perspective of some form of physical sickness, but sometimes there's some things that comes on that allow us to be from a perspective of the spiritual sickness, okay? Frailty, so weakness. So the scripture points out to us that the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, our frailties. For we know not what we should pray for as we are. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to go to Yah about. And matter of fact, I'm just saying that loosely. I spend very little time asking Yah for anything that's going on with me. My purpose is always to get his attention from just coming to him, being excited about being in his presence, and I express to him what he means to me. I don't go to Yah with a plan. I go to Yah to get a plan. You know, most people go to Yah with their long list of all the things that they need done, prayer. I don't approach him that way. I go to him with a clean slate, looking for him to slide down in on my mind to give me a plan. And the way I do this, just focus on him. I just exalt him for who he is and love on him for who he is and just thank him for the opportunity of blessing me to be a child and to be in his presence. What a privilege it is to come into the presence of the one who created all things, the one who has given us the breath of life, and the one who is our true protector, and the one who loves us when nobody else will love us. You know, it's just a privilege to be able to come into his presence. So why would I waste my time trying to bring him a plan? Okay? And so so my perspective is he knows all things. He has all power. He's all-knowing. He has power. And he's everywhere, not from a perspective of him just being a spirit and not having a physical body. But when you look at him, he's everywhere from a perspective of knowing what's going on with each one of us. He is the all-wise Yah, the creator of all things. And he treats us so... He's so particular about us that he knows each follicle, if I'm saying it correctly, hair strand, how are we going to put it, each one of us have on our head. That's what kind of God we live for. That's the type of Yah we live for. So with someone who loves us so much to the point to where he's that detailed about us, why would I want to go to him with my mess? I need to go to him. Now, what I mean by my mess, I'm talking about my own purpose, my own plan, all these other things. This is what I want to do, y'all. Get on that and bless it. You know, bless me with a house, a car, and all this, you know, bless me with all the money in the world. You know, bless me with all these different things. I ain't got time to waste my time with that stuff. I just go to him and just kind of privilege to be in his presence, and he give me all the stuff he needs for me to have. And I walk out with him, okay? That's not what I go in there looking for, but I just walk out with it. And so I will say it from that perspective. That's not why I go in there, that's not what I was going there looking for, technically. I know that when I go in there, I always come out with something, but it's what he wants for me. Not me saying, well, let me go in there just so it happens. He may want to give me something. No. So when we look at it again, verse 26 of Romans 8, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses. We just concentrate on that word. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We are all feeble when it comes down to knowing what Yah has for us. None of us know. You're wasting your time if you're going to Yah trying to figure out all these things that you sit up and you want him to meet. So he says, you don't know. Since I don't know what I should pray for, then I need for Yah to help me, the Spirit of Yah to help me and to deal with me in a way to help me in my weaknesses. Because the colon now letting me know where my weaknesses are. Also lets you know where your weaknesses are. Your weaknesses are is we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what to pray for. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses. For this is the weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we are. What you go to him about, that's weakness. You and I don't know what we're doing when we go to him with all that stuff. And so you go to him with a clean slate, and you allow him that. And remember what I said initially. I don't go to Yah with a plan. I go to him to get a plan because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I have been created by someone, so why would I have the nerve to come up with my own agenda, being created by someone who created me for his purposes? For his purpose. So because I am created for his purpose, then I don't know what I should be praying for as I ought to, so I'm going to go to him in order to get those instructions. Just a different perspective, you know, in the way we should think and how we should approach the Most High Yah. Okay? We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, not himself, because it's not a person, not a third person of the Godhead. It is the breath of Yah. My breath come out of my mouth. So my breath my breath is not a person. It is it. Why did you breathe on me? You know. But yet at the same time, it is connected to me. So it is me breathing. So that's what the Spirit of Yah is. In a nutshell, he breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. Same as spirit as you see here. But it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay? With groanings which cannot be uttered. And so when you look at the word groanings, just to help, he maketh intercessions. When you make it intercessions, it means to intercede in behalf of. Isn't it amazing to go to Yah and to realize that he's the one who is doing the serving? When we go to Yah, he's the one who's doing the serving. Since we don't know how to pray, what we should pray for as we are, then he's the one who's assisting us in getting us to where he wants us to be. He makes intercession, okay, to intercede in behalf of, make intercessions for us with groanings. When you look at the word groaning, sigh, okay, you run other references on the word. To make straight, to sigh, murmur, pray inaudibly, with grief, groan. And so, you know, a lot of time when we're dealing with things, and you know how people can be going through sometimes they go, you know, those are things when we don't know how to pray, and all we're doing is sitting there just moping around, and we're like, man, I don't know what to do, you know. Yah, so I got you. I'm making an intercession for you. all that sighing and groaning and saying that you're doing that, you don't know what to say, but I'm fixing it. You know, I'm just fixing these things. So when you look at things from that perspective, we keep moving. Here it says groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he that speaketh, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Okay? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Yah. Now, verse 28 is where I really want to be. It's saying, we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yah. You have to understand that whatever is going on, that it is working together for the good. So the first thing I thought when this started happening is I started to look for Yah because I knew good was around the corner. I know good was somewhere. And so you have to have that mindset to know that, okay, this is crazy, but good is out there. Everything is working together for the good. It is for my benefit. That's why I say it all the time. Whatever happens to me in life, whether good or bad, is always for my benefit. Good. Always for my benefit. And we know that all things work together, verse 28, for the good to them that love Yah. Now, this don't mean everybody. It don't mean that everybody, good things don't happen to everybody. Sometimes bad things happen to folks and good don't manifest from it. The bad things. And so when that happens, then we examine our love walk. So all things work together for the good. Y'all said, if you love me, all good, it may be a bad circumstance, but you got to find me. You got to know that I'm in it. And something good is going to come out of it. Okay, and we know all things work together for the good. You have something? Okay. So good to them that love Yah, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, that's why I'm not going in there trying to come up with my own. I'm not going in there with a plan. Because I know with my own plan, then the opportunity or the possibility is very limited that I'm going to get good out of my plan. But when I now put my hands to something that has to do with his purpose, y'all said, boy, when I got my hand on the plan, he said, you trust me, everything will always work out. It may look crazy, but you know, you have to know where you got the plan from. When you know where you got the plan from, no matter what takes place, you always going to find some good on the end of it. Look at how crazy it is. Thieves in there doing stuff. That looks crazy. That looks like, man, the devil is busy. And I'm sitting there looking at it. Boy, that ain't my plan. That's y'all's plan. So something to happen. I'm looking for him now. Something wonderful is to happen. And I've been excited about different things. I've been just saying to people, I've been telling them, like, man, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm just excited. Even when we bag up a little bit, we were having issues about the letter that I needed to put with the grant application and all that. These people are holding back. I was telling the elder, man, I'm so excited because y'all finna do something. And I can't wait to see what it is. I don't know what it is, but I'm so excited with anticipation because I know this plan doesn't belong to me. And since it doesn't belong to me, God is doing something for the good. It's just some crazy stuff is in front of it right now. And he'll tell you, I was laughing. I was so excited. I'm like, man, I'm like a kid. I'm like a kid at Disneyland, man. I'm so excited because I know who plan this belongs to. When you know that you're in the purpose of Yah for your life, then all things are going to work out for the good. I don't care how it started out. You have an ending, an expected end, and that expected end is always good. That's all y'all think about. Y'all think about doing wonderful things for us because Yah is, he teaches us a principle. We have a God who loves to, I have to say it to us. We have a God whose priority is for us to serve because that's what he is. Now, because people don't understand his mindset, then they want to treat him like a genie. Because they know we have a loving God who loves to serve, who loves to make his children happy, then you have people who approach him from like he's, you know, Puff the Dragon, or, you know, genie in a bottle. Just give me everything I want. You know, and it doesn't work that way. So verse 20 again, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yah, to them who are called according to purpose. It says his purpose, but it's not telling us that. So it's a part of the purpose. Yah says, boy, you sit there and look at your plan. Look at what's going on in your life. If you know I'm in it, then you got some good things coming out at the end of this thing. Okay. Now, with that understanding now, we have to understand that, remember, I said the devil will be busy, and then at the same time, I know he can't do anything that Yah doesn't allow him to do. That's the confidence that I have. Satan don't just come at me at free will. I'm in a position of purpose. You're in a position of purpose, so he just doesn't have easy access. So when he gets to us in one fashion or another, we have to know that Yah has allowed it to take place, and then there are some things that that will result as, you know, will happen as a result of that. Now, there's some scriptures that we're going to look at to show us a side where we can put ourselves in position to, you know, where he can get to us, and either way, we will see how he operates, okay? Now, Luke 22, we'll start at verse 20 just for the sake of it. Verse 20 says, likewise also the cup, no, verse 21, behold, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. You have to read Luke 21, verse 1 through 22. I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. Verse 22 said, and truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, purpose. As it was determined. Okay? As it was determined. Christ was in a perfect plan of Yah, was determined, but warned to that man by whom he is betrayed. Okay? And they begin to inquire among themselves, verse 23, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also strife, this is what we want to focus on, among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Okay? You know, people love greatness. They love being great, you know. And I'm going to say this. There's nothing wrong with greatness as long as we know what that greatness or operate within that greatness according to the purpose of Yah. Okay? There is a greatness, but in the purpose of Yah. Okay? Now he says it should be accounted the greatest. Verse 25. And he said, I say it said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. So they're having an argument about who is the greatest, who should be the greatest. And so first thing he tells them was your mind, or anyone who thinks that way, has a heathen mindset. So when he says the kings of the Gentiles, these were people who had no covenant with Yah, who had no relationship with Yah. He said, people who have no relationship with Yah, I'm just bringing it up to our day. People who have no relationship with Yah want to be rulers over people. They want to be greatness. They want to have greatness based upon who they rule over. He says, those who think that way are they have the mind of carnality. They are people who have no relationship with Yah. So whether that's a preacher or whether that's someone who is in corporate America, anybody who has a mindset of their greatness being based upon who they rule over, that's a devilish mindset. So the disciples, now these great men of God, great men of Yah, are having a debate about this subject matter. They wanted to know. Now, can you imagine having a debate about this and the Savior just told him he was going to die? You know, just kind of gives you the impression that they're trying to figure out who's going to rule after he's gone. You know, just who's going to be the greatest, you know. And so, as you look at it, it continues on, and he starts to give them an understanding of how the kingdom operates. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. When we look at the word benefactors, y'all got too much going on. Benefactors, that means a worker of good, a philanthropist. Now, isn't it amazing that you hear people today call themselves a philanthropist, but from the perspective of Yah, through Christ revealing, these type of people have a different mindset than the kingdom. You have people who will set up foundations, not so that they can be a blessing to people, but in order that they may have authority in certain areas. When you get all these different type of foundations, when you check the history of these people, they're not wonderful people. They do a little bit, but they're doing these foundations and all these things from a perspective of benefiting themselves. In reality, the majority of the folks who start foundations are doing so as a benefactor to themselves. Okay? But then you look at what they distribute out, and people look at what they distribute out because it may be large sums of money. And they may say, wow, man, this person or this foundation is doing something really wonderful for the community. But when you look at the overall picture of that thing, man, they're robbing more from the community than what they're putting into the community. And so Christ starts to give the disciples an understanding. He said, now those who are kings who have a Gentile, heathenistic, or a heathen mindset, a carnal mindset, they always want to be over people. They always want to be in position of authority. But it's all based upon self-exaltation, self-benefit. Then he tells them in verse 26, he said, but ye shall not be so. Whatever you do, as the children of the Most High Yah, whatever plan and purpose that Yah gives for us, it is always designed to be a benefit to the kingdom. If whatever plan that we have that is a benefit for us, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, things, having things for yourself and stuff like that, but I have to get your mind focused on things of the kingdom. Yah said anything that we do from a perspective of his plan and purpose is always designed to bring glory to him. He said, you're not going to be like these Gentiles. You're not going to have authority over people and they open up doors to you. He said, when you walk in the authority, you become the one who opens the doors. That's the reason why I say, yes, I am the leader. But as a leader, I'm the foundation by which you stand upon. I'm not the one who's standing on the shoulders of the people. The people stand on my shoulders. In other words, I am the one who has been called to serve. I'm not looking for someone to serve me. Okay? So he tells them, again in verse 25, he said, okay, now these kings of these Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority up on them are called benefactors. All he's telling the disciples, your mindset is carnality. You're thinking like heathen. The kingdom is not this way. So that makes all of us have to take and examine our plan. Whatever plans we have in life, we have to sit down and look at that plan and say, what is the benefit of that plan? If the plan is from Yah, then it is designed to serve. If you see you on the end of your plan, then that's a Gentile mindset. That's a heathen mindset. If your reason for putting something together is designed to make you happy, That's you. Yeah, I said, you come to me with stuff you don't know what you come to me about, and you're not going to see no good come out of it. He said, but when you look at your plan and all you can see is me at the end of your plan, he said, then that's good, and the one thing's going to take place with it. I look at that across the board. Okay? Now, he tells them in verse 26 again, he said, but ye shall not be so. You will not be like the heathen. You will not exercise authority over people, and you will not do it in a way to where you're getting all the benefits. He's not going to be so. He said, but he that is greatest among you, kingdom-minded greatness is this. You want to be great? There's nothing wrong with being great. Y'all said, this is how you have to do. If you want to be greatness from my perspective, this is what you have to do. He said, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. Now, I want to use my granddaughter, Lloyd, for example. Because she is the younger, then her approach always concerning me is to honor me or to yield to my authority. That's her mindset. She can be cutting up a little bit, and I walk in there and say, Zoe, boy, she just melt like butter. I don't have to say it to her one time. Y'all said, if you want to be great, then you got to have the mind of the younger. You got to have a mindset of humility that puts yourself in a position where you're always available and looking for the opportunity of things to happen that's going to glorify me, even to the point to where you have to treat yourself like you're the one who has the less knowledge, the younger. Be careful when there's always a my way mentality. That's the Gentile. That's the heathen mindset. Y'all said, when you want to be great, you have to think as the younger. You have to be the one who's always looking for opportunities for other people now to be put more important, to be more important, or to put them in more of an important role than you, even though you're the greatest. Okay? He said, let him be the younger. If you want to be great, let him be younger. And he that is chief, as he that serves. Isn't it amazing how Yah's kingdom is always the opposite from this world system or Satan's kingdom? Satan's kingdom said, in order for me to be great, everyone has to serve me. That's all your Hollywood people. All your important people in positions of authority, in your government positions, in all these high-ranking positions, everybody is being served. That's a heathen mindset. That's a carnal mindset. Corporate America, everybody wants to be served. I'm the big dog. So, you know, everybody served me. But he said, from a perspective of the kingdom, and I mind you, there's nothing wrong with serving. It's just that the one who's being served has to have a different mindset. You know, my secretary just brought me my water. You know, she's serving me. But at the same time, I was looking at her from the perspective of having a wheelchair. Go get my water. Right now, you know, peon, I have authority over you. But there are preachers who think like that. I remember one of my covenant brothers, I looked at him like he was crazy. He made a statement. He said, when I get through preaching, I don't even allow my congregation to approach me on the stage. I looked at him, I said, boy, what kind of strange fire are you? Man, you better be glad that I'm not a member of your church, because I'd have been a member of your church about one day. Half a day. As soon as I saw that mindset, I would never come back. Because that mindset is, I'm always used to be served. Oh, no, I don't let anybody approach me. And you see that in leadership through every facet. All your important people got all these peons hanging around them, and you can't get nowhere close to them because they're so important. But what did Christ say? He said, disciples were tripping because, you know, they were his PPA, what I'm talking about, PPA, pastor, personal protector. They were PPA, pastor, personal protector, you know, agent, you know, the type of person that keeps all the little peon folks off of you. And so they were trying to keep all the peon folks off of Yehoshua, and he looked at them. He, I'm gonna paraphrase. He's like, y'all crazy? Such little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let them come to me. Why are you in the way trying to keep me from people from approaching me? He said, quit trying to make me so important to the point where nobody can approach me. Get out of the way and let them come to me. So that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Anytime you see someone who always have the mindset of wanting to be served, you are looking at a carnal Gentile, which is a heathen, meaning they have no relationship with God. I don't care if it's in a church. I don't care what it is. Whenever you see that mindset, and I know things have changed, and we got to have certain things in place to make sure, you know, people are protected. But then at the same time, I know what God can't protect can't be protected. But I understand that. But I'm saying these people have a mindset where they feel so important that they have these things in place, although ain't nothing going on. They're not in danger. They feel that important. You don't talk to me unless I snap my finger. You come over here. So he says, verse 26, but ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest. And he that is a chief, and he that that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? See, he's talking to him from a carnal perspective now. He said, now when it comes down to this thing as far as service is concerned, he said, which one is greater, the one who's sitting at the table being served, or the one who's doing the service? What is greater, verse 27, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? He's asking, which one do you think is the greatest? Well, you know everybody's going to say, man, it got to be the one sitting at the table. You know, getting all the steaks and caviar and all this him brought to them, you know, all the different wines and all this, they got to be the most important. I mean, they're the one being served. Then he turned around and saw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. He said, but I'm serving you. But yeah, we know he was the greatest. He was the greatest that could be in any room. Still is the greatest that could be in any room. That's why when he returned, he's going to return back as the King of Kings. All kings, he trumped them all. As the Lord of Lords, all lords, he trumped them all. But yet he's serving his disciples. He's serving the ones who are under him. I encourage all of you at this ministry, whatever you do, you have to take on the servant mindset. Your approach can't be that I'm doing this because, bottom line, it's going to be my glory when it's said and done. When it's said and done, you better. And so I'll put it this way. There's a whole lot of things that's going to happen. And there's going to be a whole lot of opportunities. There's a whole lot of wonderful things going to take place. But, honey, if don't nobody mention your name, don't even worry about it. Your pastor have done some things, and people gloated in it and got all the credit for it, and I just sit back there and just smile, knowing I had done it all, and didn't say a word. Because my reward is stored up in heaven. It's not here on earth. My mind is kingdom perspective, so My perspective is that, y'all, I'm just glad to serve. Okay, we've had events and things like that, and I've always done this. Y'all just has given me a mindset to do this. A lot of time we would have events, church events, we'd have Project United events. People have to figure out who is over the thing. They don't even know. I walk past people sometimes, and they don't have a clue who I am. I'm just serving. I care less about them saying, that's the apple boy right there. That's the one. That's it. I'm going to say something, boy. That's the head Negro in charge. You know, that's him right there. I care less, man. That's why a lot of times people come in in some of those sittings who is looking for that exaltation, so their mind spins, they want to connect to the one who they feel like is most important, shoot, man, I'll send somebody else to them. They won't be going to know who, you know, who is the leader or what. Matter of fact, we was at a restaurant one time, and they asked, who was the leader? I was pointing at Allie, he pointed at me. I was pointing at LD, he pointed at me. You know, we don't care, man. We ain't caught up in all that. What's one of the pals? I pointed at him, and he pointed at me. You know, because we don't care. We're not caught up into that. That's why you can go on our website. I believe it's still that way, isn't it? You don't see Pastor Bars of United Mission Church, the founder, and all that. I don't care. I just tell how it got started and all that. I don't care if they know who the founder is. I don't care who they know who the founder is as far as Project United is concerned. I don't care less. That's why you can go up there and you can tell them, man, this is my building. I don't care. Because we all just serve it. Okay? Verse 27 again, for what is greater? He that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sits at meat is the greater? That's what Christ is saying. Now, that makes sense? When you see a person sitting down serving, sitting down being served, then the carnal mindset or the heathenistic mindset, the heathen mindset says the one that's at the table is the one who's most important. But Yah said, but in my kingdom and with my plan, you should be the one setting it up. You should be the servant. Sometimes people have looked at me crazy because I've been at other people's churches and the pastor was up preaching and you know, hooping and all that, and I was just sitting there putting up with it. You know, and shoot, I said, man, he about to fall out and die. I got up and poured him some water, handed to him. And they looking at me like, man, what you doing? You a preacher? Why you sitting here pouring water and stuff? And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to help. I'm just serving. This man looks thirsty, about to fall out. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it. You know, all of us, ain't nobody else thinks, so man, I'm trying to give him some water so he don't fall out. I know he's working hard. Which is all have the mindset to serve him, not you. All right? Now, as we look at this here in verse 28, and we'll continue on with it because I want to get to verse 31. He says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. See, this is kingdom thinking now. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's letting them know, if you're going to sit on these thrones and be rulers, you're going to have to serve. Nobody gets a throne who don't serve. I'm just saying it from that perspective. No one gets to rule who don't serve. So in Yah's kingdom, all of the important people are the ones who are willing to serve. They're very important to the kingdom. Then he says in verse 31, and I'm going to explain some things why he has them in verse 31. He says unto, in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. One of the things we have to realize is that Satan desires to have each one of us. Okay? Yah allows, remember, all things work together for the good. But Satan got busy here for these past 2 weeks or so because he desired to have us. He desired to get us off course. But we have to understand that, okay, the plan belongs to Yah. And so sometimes Yah said, let me test them. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's an awesome dude. He prays to me. He exalts me. He loves me. Have you considered that group? I want to tell you something. Before greatness manifests in you for the kingdom, you got to be tested. Nobody becomes great in the kingdom without being tested. Nobody becomes great in the kingdom without being tested. So it's vitally important for that to be understood, okay? Now he tells them now, he says, verse 31, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. So when you see to have, you take that out. Satan has desired you. But what is the desire now? That he may sift you as wheat, or that he may sift as wheat. Now, when we look at this word sift, it has an enlightenment as far as meaning is concerned. When we look at the word sift, it means to riddle. Have you ever heard of a riddle before? Have anyone ever given you a riddle? To thieve, to riddle, same desire to riddle you. Now, when somebody would give me a riddle, they would give me something from a perspective of causing me to be confused. Okay? I used to play this riddle game with I'm trying to remember how it go. I used to play with people with all the time. And it was designed to confuse them. Satan desired to riddle us. So what he does, he does things in a way that will cause us now to be confused or to not have a clear perspective or answer on what's really the truth. So I'll say it this way before I explain what I mean. The plan is from Yah. Our project is from Yah. Yah gave us that project. Yah gave us that plan. But sometimes Satan will come to throw a riddle in to make you deny or be confused about that fact. Now, when we first got that feeling, we were saying, woohoo, Yah is in this thing. Yah is so awesome. Look at what he's doing. Look at how he's blessing. Everybody else was saying, woohoo, woohoo. And then all of a sudden, Satan threw in a riddle. We saw a riddle. We're a riddle. We should be done by June. Woohoo, we're rolling. Yah is moving. Then Satan comes with a riddle. Now, you may have some people saying, well, man, are we sure that Yah is in this thing? That's a riddle. That's a sift. When Satan comes, he comes to sift. And his way of sifting is to make you doubt what you know is the truth. Sift. So, here's my riddle. My riddle is designed. My purpose in doing what I'm about to say to you, give you this riddle, my purpose in doing that is to confuse you. And I want to confuse you on purpose to keep you from seeing the truth. Here's my riddle now. I bet anyone, whether you're here or hearing my voice, that I can take two coins, and those two coins will add up to be 15 cents, and one of them won't be a dime. Do y'all think I can do it? I say it again. I can take two coins, they're going to add up to be 15 cents, and one of them won't be a dime. Do you think I can do that? Two coins, they're going to add up to be 15 cents, and one of them won't be a dime. Do you think I can do that? Most people sit there and be like, I'm confused. Well, I'm telling you the truth. But I do it in a real perspective, but because I do it in a real perspective, you are now doubting whether that can be done or not. So even though it is a fact that I can take two coins, that'll be 15 cents, and one of them won't be a dime, because I've done it from a real perspective to confuse you, you think, man, that can't be done. Well, now you know what sift means. So I'm going to slow it down. I can take two coins. They will add up to be 15 cents. and one of them won't be a dime. I can take two coins. They will add up to be 15 cents, and one of them won't be a dime because one of them is a nickel. I just gave you an answer. Two coins, a dime and a nickel, add up to be 15 cents, and one of them won't be a dime. The nickel is not a dime. But I jacked up people's minds because they're trying to figure out, wait a minute, that's simping. Where I take and conceal the truth by causing a simp or a riddle now to manifest in your life to totally throw you off a factual statement. That's Satan. So Satan said, I'm going to send thieves in there to yank copper out and to tear down stuff and to steal supplies. All this because I'm sifting that wheat to make that individual or those individuals now doubt the truth that Yah is the one who gave the plan. The two coins that add up to be 15 cents and one of them won't be a dime because one of them is a nickel. But when I say it in a way to riddle you, sift you as wheat, now I got you totally off of the truth and you now believe like, well, he's up there lying. He can't do that. Yes, I can. I just did it in a riddle. Doing it in a way to conceal the truth from you, to get you to believe a lie that it can't be done. Now I got you. So Satan can get so busy to the point to where he makes you believe the lie that he's so busy that there's no way we're going to be able to finish the project. Now we've gotten discouraged and we wouldn't sit down somewhere because we said, man, God not in this. See, them thieves got in there and sort of turned stuff up. God can't be in this. God said, boy, you better stick to the plan and you better understand that all things. I'm talking about boys as far as y'all now. Because I was looking for them the entire time. And you may have been too, but I'm just saying this just for the sake of the lesson. For anyone who was doubting because some things happened. Y'all were saying, boy, look here, I gave the plan, and the plan is still on course. It's just that I wanted them copper thieves or those thieves to get in there because I want the police department to bend over baffles for y'all from this point on. But I can't get it to take place unless I let the thieves get in there so that I can be glorified when the thieves get in there. Now the police department is on y'all's side like what I wanted in the first place. Guess what? No one else will ever get close to that building again, even when you're in there, because I've given you favor with a department that now looking at y'all, and every last one of us coming up in there was saying, what's happening in here? What y'all doing in here? And when we explained it to them, they said, you know what? We got to make sure that this place get open. You can't let nobody else in here. You can go up there right now, there's a police car parked on the inside the gate. Now, I remind you, I've tried to get them to put a car in there before. Well, you got to go through all this process and all this here. Talked about it yesterday, it's in the parking lot today. Even other people saying, man, they don't do that normally. It takes 3, 4 weeks or months or something like that to get them to finally start bringing them cars around. Well, they did hours in a day. It's called favor. Y'all said, when it's my plan, I'll make everybody line up with my plan. So I had to let this take place because I wanted some good to come out of this. Now they're coming to me saying, hey, we need you to serve, Pastor Boyd. Can you like start a neighborhood crime watch in this area and since this place is gonna be open? You know, this can be a safe haven. Ain't that what we've been calling it? This can be a safe haven for the community, and we can get a whole lot of things done. Man, a whole lot of things are going to happen right here at this place, right here. We're going to make sure that nobody's best with it again. Well, it took y'all allowing old Slewfoot to get loose on there just so he can bring that to pass. You know, I call the devil Slewfoot. That's what some old folks used to call him. And on Slewfoot biz, ain't it? Yeah, but y'all let him get busy just so he can bring about the good. Now, we have so much favor, man. you know, wonderful things take place, and I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to let you go. God is so awesome. He takes care of us foolish things, because I know I'm a foolish thing. When I got a phone call that they were up there, as y'all know, I ended up holding them at gunpoint until the police got there. But show you how y'all look out for food. When I had initially got there, I had placed my gun in the floor where I could just grab it when I got out because they called me and told me, hey, people in your building. When I pull up there, I couldn't even see the gun. Now y'all wouldn't allow me to see the gun, but at the same time, I'm tripping. I'm just tripping because I'm looking all over. I'm looking everywhere for the gun. Oh, I'm looking everywhere. It took me about 2 or 3 minutes to get out of bed because I'm looking for the gun. I'm looking for the gun. I'm like, man, this don't make no sense. Well, y'all knew that it was two guys still inside the building. And if I had gotten there, as soon as I had gotten there, if I had jumped out of the car with the gun, I just had one of them. The one who was least important. So y'all made that gun invisible. I kid you not. He would look out for a fool. I'm a foolish thing. He made that gun invisible. I looked all over the floor. I'm moving stuff around. The guy even came to the car that was driving. He came to the van and was like, hey, because I got him blocked in. So I let the window down. He said, what's the problem? I said, you finna find out. You finna find out what the problem is. And I was like, what's going on? He's standing there in the passenger side looking through the window. And you finna find out what the problem is. Y'all wouldn't let me see that gun until those guys got right where he wanted them to be. Then I looked down in the same spot that was right there. He manifested, I grabbed and got out and held him to the police. In the meanwhile, one that wasn't important to y'all, y'all was like, he's gone, let him go. He jumped through and went on. But all of that for y'all to be glorified. Why? Because all that for him to be glorified. And so it's vitally important for us to understand whatever happens to us in life is always for our benefit, and we have to learn how to look for Yah in every circumstance. I don't care whether it's good or bad. Look for him. You got to look for him in every circumstance. You got to look for him. And so it's vitally important for us to understand that. Okay? My grandson just ran wrong there. So it's vitally important. It's amazing. I got either kids or grandkids on just about all my CDs and tapes over the years. It started out being higher, you know. How old you girl? I'm getting mixed to 27. You ready to be 28? Get ready to be 27. You know, so 26 years worth of CDs and tapes. One of them on it. Higher was on it. Then Lana was on it. And then Zoe was on it. Now Josh was on it. So somebody always on my CD. You know, but always remember that, y'all. So remember, all things work together for the good. Romans 8:26. And then understand that when these things happen, always look for Yah. Look for Yah. And remember, whenever Satan does get to us, remember, it's designed to sift. It's designed to make us doubt what we know Yah has said. Each one of you know what Yah has said to you. When you really sit down and look at it, you know. I know what Yah said. Well, don't allow Satan to steal. Don't allow him come with a riddle now to confuse you on what you know is a true fact. That's sifting. And so he warned Peter. He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but then he goes on and say this in verse 31. I'm getting ready to close. Verse 32, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Satan is trying to get our faith to fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, when you get your mind so focused on Yah to believe that what he said is going to be exactly the way he said, then you can strengthen somebody else. Until then, it never happens. We all have to get to the point where we're not being sifted. Yes, things are going to happen to us, both good and bad sometimes. But when these things happen, keep the focus and know that what Yah has done is exactly what Yah is doing is exactly what he's going to continue to do, and it is exactly what he's going to finish. And no matter what happens, you keep your mind stayed on him. Don't get discouraged. Don't let the riddle now to start sifting us. If you put a poor grain in this little sifter and start slowly just letting it come out, you got a little strainer, and that wheat is just falling slowly through that strainer. That's what it's from a perspective of the sift is concerned, but it's from a real mindset that's designed to cause us to doubt and have confusion concerning our walk with Yah, faith. You want your faith to fail. What happened these past 2 weeks about the letter and about the burglary was something that was, we was being tested to see if our faith would fail. I'm saying, shoot, man, I'm just excited right now. Matter of fact, first day it happened, I sit there and looked at the guys who were doing the construction. I said, let me tell you something. They said, well, we done had a big setback. I said, well, you know what? I said, it's kind of like this. You know, I tell this story a lot. One time the girls had turned over some milk that was on the table, the milk was running off the floor, and everybody was sitting there fussing about it. And finally I said, hey, y'all wait. The milk is rolling off the floor, rolling down, and turned over on the table and rolling off on the floor. What are we going to do about it? See, sometimes we get so caught up into the bad things to the point where we can't focus on what we need to do to keep going forward. So I told the construction guys, look here, y'all, okay, this has happened. So what do we need to do next? What do we need to replace? What materials we need to get? What do we need to do again to keep moving? I'm not focusing on what has happened. I'm focusing on what I know y'all have seen. So what do we need to do right now? Well, we need to get supplies. Okay, we're going to do it. We got to keep going forward. Okay? So it's vitally important that we understand it. All right? If there are no questions or comments, I'm going to go ahead and close right here. And I'll read this last little thing before we okay. Now, I'll say this as I can read closer. Verse.
You don't know what
to do. Yeah, I hung up on y'all. My bad. Trying to turn the volume up in case somebody had a question. I hung up on y'all. So I'll read this again. Verse 31 and 32. Did we go?
Folks, you didn't catch me.
Okay. Now, verse 31 says. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What has happened to us through these past few days has been designed to strengthen us. And so it's very important for us to understand that He desires to strengthen us. So the things that you're going through, and you know Yah has given you a purpose, know that he's strengthening you. He has to test you and try you to strengthen you, to get you ready so that you can, in other words, to strengthen you so that you can strengthen your brother. You know, it's difficult to strengthen people when you're weak. It's difficult to tell people to hang on when you hadn't been tested yourself. Okay? And so he allowed those things to take place at times so that we can be ready, we can be converted and strengthen our brethren. Okay? All right, I'm finished. Any questions or comments from anyone? We're good. Okay, I'm praying, then we'll flow. Father, y'all, we just bless you for this lesson on today, and we just thank you for another opportunity to get in your word and to get an understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty.